translation, at the time of devastation, the entire cosmos, containing all created moving and non-moving entities, enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the personality of Godhead is of two different kinds, Aishwarya Purna, full of opulence, and Aishwarya Shithila, without opulence. Real love of Godhead begins with Aishwarya Shithila, simply on the basis of pure love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Shantaha Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulandaji Ki Jai Shri. Brahma Samhita 538. Pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of prema, love, want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shama Sundara, Muralidhara, with a flute playing in his two swaying in his two hands. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shyam Sundar, not as Lord Vishnu, Narayan, who is worshipped in Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavana platform, she is near the Vrindavana platform. On the Vrindavana platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yashoda, and on the Mathura and the Dwaraka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwaraka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of His opulence. But in Vrindavana, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. There are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. Devaki is on the platform of Vatsalya. She wanted to deal with her eternal son Krishna in that stage of love, and therefore she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw His opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura illuminates this fact very clearly in his explanation of this verse. Bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityetan brahma bhoyaya kalpate. One who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform. Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. In the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there's a similar conception of fear, which is due to intense love. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati, Yamanches Chasmi Tattvataha, and as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grayaha, without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Bhakti may be considered in three stages, called Guni, Bhuta, Pradani Bhuta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions which are called Jnana, Jnanamayi, and Rati, or Prema. That is simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. By simple knowledge, one can perceive transcendental bliss without variety. This perception is called Manabhuti. When one comes to the stage of Jnanamayi, one realizes the transcendental opulence of the Personality of Godhead. But when one reaches pure love, one realizes the transcendental form of the Lord as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. This is what is wanted. Especially in the Madhurya Rasa, one becomes attached to the Personality of Godhead, Sri Vigraha Nishta Rupadi. Then loving transactions between the Lord and the devotee begin. The special significance of Krishna's bearing a flute in his hands in Vrajabhumi Vrindavan is described as Madhuri, Virajate. The form of the Lord with the flute in his hands is most attractive, and the one who is most sublimely attracted is Srimati Radharani, Radhika. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people cannot understand why Radhika's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, however, Radhika can be understood from the word Aradhana, which indicates that she enjoys the highest loving affairs with Krishna. Not wanting to be ridiculed for having given birth to Vishnu, Devaki wanted Krishna with two hands, and therefore she requested the Lord to change his form. Okay. Perhaps a very appropriate verse for someone who transitioned from the Ramanujaya Sampradaya to the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So I guess, you know, providence arranges a few things which we can't really put our fingers on, but very appropriate. What is also very significant about this verse is the fact that it defines the speciality of the movement of Lord Chaitanya, it really defines the speciality and the purpose of even being connected to Lord Chaitanya in this lifetime. It's a very special opportunity, and that is being highlighted. It is a fact that the name of Srimati Radharani is not known in any other sampradaya other than the Gaudiya sampradaya. They don't even acknowledge. In some cases, they don't acknowledge. In some cases, they acknowledge but do not want to go there because they believe that it's a topic which they do not want to approach. There are, of course, devotees in every sampradaya, be it the Sri sampradaya, be it the Madhva sampradaya and others, who have been adherents of Madhurya Ras. There are. There are many instances of writings of acharyas in every sampradaya. However, what is significant is that Srimati Radharani's name is never brought out openly. In our parampara, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, what is very significant is the fact that we have been asked to broadcast the holy names in every street. We recruit like anything. We recruit. We go on Harinam. Every day in some temples, I was very encouraged when I heard that in London, you know, there are many, many trips of Harinam practically. In, I think the Soho temple does every day Harinam. It's very encouraging because we don't get to do it in the U.S. Or perhaps we don't do it. We didn't say I don't get to do it, but we don't do it. So we do Harinam and we recruit. But then the question becomes that this is Lord Nityananda's mercy. Lord Nityananda has received orders from Lord Chaitanya. He and Haridas Thakur and several other devotees, which were, you know, confidential associates of Lord Nityananda, were ordered to go and spread the movement. And they spread the movement because of the Kripa Shakti quite indiscriminately. So we have been given orders by Srila Prabhupada and by Lord Chaitanya to go and spread this movement. And we go out in Harinam practically every day in many parts of the world. But then we are also told that this is the most confidential aspect of service. And the most confidential aspect of connection with Godhead, which is what this verse is about. It's almost a paradox that you've been asked to go and recruit indiscriminately, but then you're also being told that what you have is very confidential, very special, and you have to consider it in that manner. And this is being specified, it's also being shown by our acharyas in so many different paramparas, which are very bona fide Vaishnava paramparas, who do not even feel that they have the authority or ability to take Srimati Radharani's name. So we are very qualified in that sense that we are very fortunate to have come in touch with Lord Chaitanya. There's no doubt about it. And Lord Chaitanya is the only one who can give prema. There isn't anyone else who can give prema. Krishna prema is not available with anyone else. It's only in the movement of Lord Chaitanya that we can even come in touch with the concept of prema. Because Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are non-different. But there is a difference. Krishna does not have prema. Lord Chaitanya has prema. So it is Lord Chaitanya who has the ability to come and give prema because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Radharani combined. So he understands prema. Krishna doesn't. In fact, the purpose of Krishna coming as Lord Chaitanya is to understand the concept of prema. So it's a very confidential aspect that Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are non-different, and at the same time we also understand that Lord Chaitanya has something which Krishna doesn't. He has the prema of Srimati Radharani within him. So no one can offer us prema other than Lord Chaitanya. And he is distributing this through the means of Lord Nityananda Ram indiscriminately. I was just commenting yesterday to His Grace Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu about the significance of seeing Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman on your altar. You know, there is no such thing as a coincidence in spiritual life. There's no such thing as a coincidence if you are a practitioner of, you know, Vedic Dharma. Everything has a purpose. Without understanding the extraordinary level of Dasya Bhakti, which is seen in Lord Ram's incarnation, exhibited by Lakshman, exhibited by Hanumanji, one cannot approach Lord Chaitanya. One cannot. The mood of Lord Nityananda in this movement is not of Balaram. That is the internal mood. The mood of Lord Nityananda externally is the mood of Lakshman. The moment he sees Lord Chaitanya display the Shatbhuja Rupa, Lord Nityananda transforms himself internally to take on the mood of Lakshman. This whole concept of Dasya Bhakti and the whole concept of being a Dasa Dasanu Das, the servant of the servant, trying to constantly focus on being able to serve others and so on, this is not a concept of Raja Bhakti. This is a concept of Rama Bhakti. It is a concept of Vaikuntha. It's a concept of specifically loving devotional service, especially in Dasya, comes from Lord Ram's incarnation. It comes from there. So Lord Nityananda is distributing the love of Godhead Prema and asking us to also take on the mood of Lakshman and Hanumanji in being able to serve as Dasa Dasa Anudas, because that's the only way we can approach Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's distribution of Prema occurs when we approach him not so much on an equal level, which is Vishramba, which is how Krishna is approached. Lord Chaitanya cannot be approached on an equal level. We have to approach him as Dasa Dasa Anudas. That inspiration comes from Ram Parivar. So it's so significant to see both of them together. And it's very inspiring, because if you want to learn how to serve, it is to be through the mood of the servants of Lord Ram. One cannot learn service in Raja Bhakti. In Raja Bhakti, Krishna serves. Sometimes the cowherd boys stretch their legs and say, "Krishna, it's hurting. Can you press my legs?" And then Krishna serves them. Sometimes Mother Yashoda chastises him. We have seen so many instances. Nanda Maharaj requests Krishna, "Go get my footwear." He picks up his sandals and brings it. This is not Dasa Dasa Anudas. You cannot understand the concept of Dasa Dasa Anudas, which is the reason why, if we make an attempt to understand the whole concept of servitude from Raja Bhakti, we would go wrong, because Lord Chaitanya cannot be approached that way. Lord Chaitanya was an extraordinarily strict sannyasi. Extraordinarily strict. He was the Maryada Purushottama. He carried, and externally his behavior was like Lord Ram. Very strict, acting according to the strictures of Dharma. Very strict. How could you approach someone who is so strict in any other mood other than being a servant of a servant of a servant? That particular mood is being given by the inspiration that's being drawn from the Ramayana in the behavior of the servants of Lord Ram. So it's very significant that you have both in this altar. And as a consequence, we draw inspiration from the servants of Lord Ram to become Dasa Dasa Anudas, so that we could inspire others also to become Dasa Dasa Anudas. And when we become Dasa Dasa Anudas to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he then allows us automatically to qualify for proceeding further. So our process is not so much even to focus on wanting to attain prema. Our focus is to wanting to serve Lord Chaitanya in every respect as possible. And that service is going to come from the motivation of being able to chant the holy names. Okay? So it's very significant. This verse is so significant, distinguishing Gaudiya Vaishnavism versus others. It's an enormous change. Let's look at a few qualifications of devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We will understand what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Then it would possibly, it would allow us to reflect on the extraordinary gift and extraordinary disqualification of those who have received it as well. Both. Number one, Sri Uddhava in the 10th canto. He was sent to Vraja to pass on a message to the gopis. And then when he met Nanda Maharaj, when he met Yashoda Mai, he was not able to relate to the despondency. He was not able to relate to the fact that they were extraordinarily traumatized by the separation with Krishna. He kept telling them that, you know, he is Narayan, he is the preceptor of all, he is the spiritual master of all, he is the maintainer of all. And Nanda Maharaj looked at him with complete surprise. He cannot stay without eating for even a few moments, and you're calling him Narayan, the completely satisfied supreme person. You're calling him the spiritual master of everyone. This was the statement of Uddhava. And Nanda Maharaj was completely surprised, because Krishna cannot control his senses. We could see he used to go steal. He used to steal butter. We could never keep him in control, because he used to go home to home, steal butter. He used to do so many things which nobody would do. And you are saying that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Uddhava, you're lying. I don't want to listen to you. I want to remain in the conception of understanding that he is my son. We love him. We are in separation. Sri Uddhava was a Brihaspati Sishya. Being a Brihaspati Sishya, he was filled with jnana. He approached Krishna with jnana. Even though he was an extraordinarily close associate in Dwaraka, he could only approach Krishna with jnana. And that jnana did not allow him to distinguish what was happening. It could not allow him to see what was happening in Vraja. It did not. It did not. Krishna deliberately wanted him to go and see what is so special in Vraja. He wanted him to see that Vraja is so special. And nobody in Braja could comprehend what Uddhava was saying. And this is Sri Uddhava. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, in one sense, is telling us, Sri Uddhava was not ready to understand the mood of Brajavasis. So the question is, are we? This is a question that we ought to ask ourselves. Are we? If Sri Uddhava, the closest associate of Krishna and Dwaraka, was not qualified to understand, then how are we qualified? This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy that we are even chanting and we are talking about Srimati Radharani's name. Let's go further up. If you read this chapter, the entire third chapter of the 10th canto, we will notice that the prayers which are being offered by Vasudeva and Devaki, Mother Devaki is offering prayers in opulence, the Aishwaramayi Rupa of Krishna. She cannot understand that this is her son. Neither can Vasudev. They cannot. They don't want to. They are in fact intimidated by the very fact that this extraordinary personality could have even manifested himself from my womb, which is what this verse is all about. How could you have come from a womb? People will not believe me. And look at the beauty. Even before Mother Yashoda could even have the slightest knowledge of who he was, he went there and became her son. She didn't know that he had anything other than the fact that, you know, there was this extraordinary loving Vatsalya exchange that was going on between Mother Yashoda and Krishna. She had absolutely no conception of his supremacy. In Vrindavan, the extraordinary opulence or Aishwarya which is manifest in Vrindavan is covered over by sweetness. In every other manifestation, the Aishwarya and the opulence can overwhelm the sweetness. There is sweetness. The sweetness is overwhelmed outside of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the opulence is overwhelmed by sweetness. So the question becomes, if Mother Devaki and Vasudev, they could not approach him and understand him and even accept him in the form of Vishramba Bhava, equality. In Vraja, there is equality. The friends think he is equal to them. The friends are constantly thinking they're equal to him. What is friendship if you don't think you're an equal? What is parenthood if you don't think someone is subordinate? What is brotherhood if you don't think you have a younger brother who is subordinate to you? How do you relate to all of this? How do you relate to all of this? In Vraja, this is happening. How do you approach Vraja Bhakti when Sri Uddhava was not qualified? How do you approach Vraja Bhakti when Vasudeva and Devaki were not qualified? This is Vraja Prema, this is Shuddha Prema. This is to be achieved through the chanting of the holy names, and this was distributed in the streets by Lord Nityananda Ram. So the question becomes, are we qualified to receive this extraordinary gift from Lord Chaitanya, which no one can even claim, you know, inheritance of? So then that is where this particular movement becomes very special. It's an extraordinary movement, it's a very special opportunity. And the ability to participate in this movement and being a part of this movement is completely dependent on making ourselves available. That is the underlying or principle which is going to allow us to move forward. It is not based on any qualification that we can have, because if you start to talk about qualifications, let's talk about the qualification of Sri Uddhava. Let's talk about the qualification of Vasudeva and Devaki. Let's talk about that. How do we even claim any qualification to receive what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us? We don't. The only thing that we can do in this movement is to ensure that on a day-to-day basis, we beg for mercy to stay on in this movement. This movement recruits like anything, and it has done so for millions of years. It was seen manifest 500 years back in Navadvip, and it has been going on. We recruit like anything. So Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, at one point, in answering a question, said, don't be surprised by the number of people who leave us. Be surprised by the number of people who are going to be with us. Because it is so special. It is such a special movement, and the profundity of the mercy that's being passed on by Lord Nityananda is such that we recruit like anything. But because we recruit like anything, and we are so powerful in our recruiting process, the weeding process of removal is also effective. It's as effective as a recruiting process. That's what makes something very bona fide. If you're attracted to a bona fide movement, if you're a part of a bona fide culture, the bona fide culture will have systems of inclusion and exclusion, and it will all be very organic. It would be seamless. It would be very difficult for us to be able to discern, you know, when someone is leaving and when someone is coming in. So when we talk about Harinam Chintamani, talking about qualifications to chant the holy names, we talk about three different levels. They talk about Karma Mishra Bhaktas who come in, and the Karma Mishra Bhaktas receive Sukriti of Karma Unmukha Sukriti. The Sukriti or the good fortune that comes by expressing and engaging in sacrifices for us to be able to resolve karmic reactions and then be able to beget certain wonderful things. This is the Karma Mishra Bhakti and Karma Unmukha Sukriti. And then comes the topic of Jnana Unmukha Sukriti. Jnana Unmukha Sukriti is where the Jnani, who is superior to the Karmi, wants to leave the world, which is being mentioned here, saying one is the very simple platform. That is the first platform which is being talked about here. The first platform which is being talked about here is of the Jnani. And the Jnani reaches the first level of understanding Godhead. He reaches the Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma level. He crosses over the material ocean and he reaches the transcendental platform, but he has absolutely no knowledge of the mellow of devotional service because there is no relationship. There is no relationship. There is no rasa. This rasa comes due to mercy. The rasa of four different rasas which are being spoken of here are coming due to mercy. There is no knowledge of rasas for the Jnani. He cannot understand it. He reaches beyond and he reaches the transcendental sky. And in the transcendental sky, he is trying to be happy. And that's a state of happiness. It's Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. It's a liberated state. The chanting of the holy names in an offenseless manner grants us Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma is granted even before Bhava Bhakti arrives. Bhava Bhakti is the beginning of prema. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma of being able to cross over the material ocean comes in when someone reaches Nishta, and then the Nishta intensifies. That experience of transcendence comes into the devotee, and this is granted by the holy names. And at that point in time, all the devotee has achieved is the ability to chant offenselessly. He is not chanting, he or she is not chanting the pure name. They are chanting offenselessly. And when that qualifies, how does it qualify? It qualifies by the entry of the guru in the devotee's life in a more profound way. The internal aspiration of the devotee attracts the liberated soul who is in Raja. And the liberated soul looks upon the devotee and starts taking notice, saying, okay, there's some aspiration here and we could use him or her in the service of Krishna. They start reaching out. And that is when even more information comes in. So the premise of our movement is so clear. We don't need anything but the bead bag. Nothing else is required. We get all we need by chanting the holy names. We get liberated by chanting the holy names. We get Krishna through the holy names. And liberation, which is the Jnani's objective, is achieved when you chant offenselessly, not the pure name. The pure name is much further away. For the pure name to occur, there has to be Sambandha Gyan. The guru has to inject Sambandha Gyan in the heart of his disciple for him to be able to relate to Krishna. Just as much as the manifestation of any activity becomes very efficient and becomes very wonderful when the person who is executing such activity has assumed the proper identity in being able to execute it. So for instance, when we say someone is a manager and the person really assumes the identity of manager, understands what the role is, he is understanding what it takes to be a manager, then he is able to manifest results which are due to be a manager. So similarly, there are many other situations where the identity that we assume within us is going to make us efficient externally. The whole process of sadhana bhakti is to re-establish our identity in relationship with Krishna. The Sambandha Gyan starts appearing more profoundly. It moves from the Dasya Bhakti of Rama, Sri Ramayan manifestation, the Dasya Bhakti which is part of being depicted in Sri Ramayan. It moves from just pure Dasya of being a Dasa Dasana Das, when the devotee becomes fixed and then receives the mercy of an eternally liberated soul from the spiritual master. And by doing so, he starts assuming and slowly understanding the mellow of relationship that the devotee has with Krishna. The moment the mellow comes in, the identity begins to unfold, the chanting becomes more serious. So the rasa is not available. It is not available to the Jnani. It is not available even to the liberated soul. which is the reason why we are seeing so many instances of Sri Sukadeva Goswami, the Kumaras, so on and so forth, not having access to the mellows of relationship with Krishna. They don't. We see the fact that Devaki and Sri Vasudev did not have the mellow of Vraja Bhakti. She had difficulty in being a mother. Can't you see this? It's very obvious. It's in English, but Srila Prabhupada is so obviously writing. She had difficulty in being his mother. Mother Yashoda had no difficulty whatsoever. That is Vraja Bhakti. That is where we are going. That is what has been given to us by Lord Chaitanya. This whole idea of being liberated and then slowly, steadily receiving and understanding the mellow of relationship with Krishna allows us to become more efficient in devotional service. Our efficiency is going to come through the holy names. We will become liberated. We would receive information on our eternal mellows. This will bring efficiency. And this efficiency would condense because we would start falling in love with Krishna. And then when it starts condensing and it condenses and matures, then slowly we are entering into the higher realms. But this is only available and given by Lord Gauranga. And this is only available through the chanting of the holy names. In reality, no one prepares us, no sampradaya's offering prepares us more to read the Srimad Bhagavatam than Lord Chaitanya. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to have an aspiration for prema. No one can give prema other than Lord Chaitanya. So only those who are adherents and surrender to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet have access to being able to fully understand the import of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very difficult to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam otherwise, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for Premi Bhaktas. No one offers prema other than Lord Chaitanya. And in Lord Chaitanya's movement, the means to prema is to develop first the attitude of being a dasa dasa anudas. Inspiration comes from Sri Ram Parivar, the servants of Lord Ram, of being a dasa dasa anudas. And taking that inspiration, we serve Lord Chaitanya's movement, we chant, and then by qualifying, we slowly, steadily develop the deeper mellows of being able to understand what goes on in Braja. And as that intensifies, it qualifies us further in terms of being able to proceed towards Krishna. That qualification cannot come unless we approach Lord Chaitanya with deference. Lord Chaitanya requires deference. We can't really treat him as anything but being a servant of the servant of the servant and dedicating ourselves to his movement. By doing so, he would naturally qualify us for us to be able to move forward and give us the prema that we crave for. But the most important thing that we want to learn from today's verse is the fact that there is a certain rarity. This is a very rare opportunity. And it is being distributed by Lord Nityananda Ram and his servants. And every one of us have received it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here in Srila Prabhupada's temple. We wouldn't. And for us to be able to move forward, even after we have received it, there has to be an understanding. The first understanding that comes is being given by Lord Chaitanya, that we don't deserve it. We really are not qualified to receive it in any manner. That understanding has to be there. Once that understanding comes that we don't deserve this, and we are not qualified to be a part of his movement, and we serve because we want to be a part of his movement even though we are not qualified, then we qualify ourselves to receive further and further knowledge about our eternal self. The more we understand who we are in relationship to the Lord, the better our service becomes, better our chanting becomes. And all of this is dependent simply on understanding and positioning ourselves to remain a Kripa Siddha. We are Kripa Siddhas. We are completely dependent on the mercy of Lord Nityananda Ram. So simplicity is a very big deal in our movement, because it's not dependent on us. Nothing is dependent on us. It is not. So having the ability to remain in a very simple frame of mind in terms of being a servant of the servant would automatically qualify us to receive mercy. Positioning ourselves for mercy is the purpose of the sadhana. Positioning ourselves. And that is exactly what is required. All we have to do is to simply stay the course. We have to just stay the course. It's as simple as that. We just have to be a part of the road that leads to the spiritual sky, aspiring for nothing but the gift of being able to chant the pure name. And that in itself would propel us, because we are completely dependent on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We have no other ability to do so. We have no other qualification. That is exactly the import here. And this is understood how? It is understood by the obvious disqualification of Krishna's mother, Devaki, even accepting him in as a son. And we are craving for personal relationships. So how are we qualified? It is also obvious from the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we study the Srimad Bhagavatam and we scrutinize it, we would notice that the language changes in the Srimad Bhagavatam periodically, depending on who the recipient of knowledge is. It changes. Sri Narad Muni, who can deliver anyone, Sri Narad Muni is the carrier of bhakti, he can practically, profoundly bless anyone with intense bhakti. But when he is talking to certain personalities, you would notice that he is actually counseling them and asking them about their duties. He's making a distinction. When he talks to Sri Uttanapad, the father of Dhruva Maharaj, he is practically telling him and asking him about how his kingdom is. He's not talking about bhakti. He's not really giving him instructions on how to practice sadhana. He is actually asking him, okay, you're running your kingdom and this is what you ought to be doing. We would notice that the language of Srimad Bhagavatam changes. Here in this verse, we are noticing that Mother Devaki is also quite despondent, or rather, she is quite intimidated by the prospect of having Krishna as her son. We don't see such despondency or intimidation in Vraja Bhakti. We don't. We don't see that. So that gives us a very clear idea that what Lord Chaitanya has given us is far beyond anybody's reach, what Lord Nityananda has distributed. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumanji ki jai. So what Lord Chaitanya has given us is so special. Okay, so it's a very special verse. It's actually giving us, telling us how special it is. It is very clearly saying that Srimati Radharani's name is not known. Mother Devaki does not want to call Krishna her son. She's intimidated. Sri Vasudeva is praying to him as if he is Narayan. He is not even considering that he is a son. This is telling us very clearly that the beginning of the 10th canto is telling us very clearly that there are very few who can even enter into Vraja. Very few. And this is being distributed just so openly. And all we have to do is chant 16 rounds. All we have to do is chant 16 rounds. This is Prabhupada's promise. Years back, there was a big celebration in New Vrindavan in West Virginia. And I had the good fortune of being able to sit beside, I think, Mother Rukmini, and there was another Prabhupada disciple, two mothers who were very senior in this movement. And the part of the conference, it was actually a seminar which was done by my spiritual master, His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And the idea was that we have to share realizations with the neighbors. And, you know, what realization could I offer to very senior devotees? So I just kept mum. And I said, okay, let me listen. And I remember till this day, the reason is that there was some very profound sharing that was done. The mother who sat next to me, I don't remember her name, she said she joined in 67 or 68, very early on. And then, interestingly, devotees those days used to write letters. Devotees used to write letters to Srila Prabhupada. The letters would take around 2 months to 3 months to just get back, you know, the replies. Because Srila Prabhupada was managing the entire movement through letters. It was pretty amazing. And we struggled with emails and phones and texts and WhatsApp and so on and so forth. But he did it with letters. He did this entire movement. He managed the lives of so many devotees and the movement with letters. And then this mother had written to him, and her question was, what do I need to do to go back to Godhead? She was very young, obviously, 67, very early on in the movement. What do I need to do to go back to Godhead? And then very eagerly, the letter, she was waiting for a reply. The letter came back from Srila Prabhupada 2 months later. And the whole temple used to gather around when Prabhupada's letters used to come, because everybody wanted to read what his replies were. So there was no such thing as it was written to him or her. So everybody gathered around, and the reply was very simple. What do I need to do to go back to Godhead? Chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles. Your well-wisher. The beauty was this. It was not so much that this is a very often repeated instruction. It's a very often repeated instruction. We hear it from the first class that we come into. That's not the beauty. The beauty is that even those who were a part of the Dwaraka Leela, even those who had the immediate contact with Krishna, if the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us that they are not qualified to go to Vraja, how do we qualify ourselves with 16 rounds and regulative principles? We cannot. 64 rounds doesn't qualify us for Prema Bhakti. So what is it which is so significant about being a part of Lord Chaitanya's movement, specifically in the context of Srila Prabhupada's mission? The context is that Srila Prabhupada is compensating us. He is compensating our obvious disqualification with his potency. And he's allowing us to move forward. The early devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that one needs to be on the platform of Dharma to be able to execute devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada, we don't know what is Dharma. You know, we were raised elsewhere. We don't even know what is Dharma in accordance to scripture. So how would we qualify? Srila Prabhupada looked at them quite gravely and said, I gave you religiosity. So he just bestowed religiosity upon his followers and put them on a foundation and a platform to be able to move forward. That is the first step. And then he said, chant 16 rounds. He is doing all the heavy lifting. 16 rounds can't qualify us. Everybody knows that. Hopefully. Everybody knows. Srila Prabhupada is doing all the heavy lifting, and all he wants you to do, and all wants us to do, is to practically stay the course. Just stay the course and stick to this regimen, and I will take care of everything. That was the kind of message that Srila Prabhupada gave. It was not so much that it was a recipe for success. It was a recipe that this is your duty. You do this and I will do the rest. I will do the rest. So it was pretty profound where the interactions of our devotees, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Nityananda Ram and so on, the qualifications being bestowed upon them cannot be sought by us, cannot be even imagined. So I think it's almost 20 minutes before the hour of 8:30. So I think we will stop here. I'll quickly summarize and then we'll see if there are any comments from any of you to conclude the session. The verse very specifically talks about the intimidation and the overwhelming sense of awe and reverence that is being felt by Mother Devaki. This is in contrast to the fact that Krishna decided to go to Mother Yashoda without announcing his extraordinary opulence. Braja Bhakti is so special where the sweetness overwhelms the opulence. So it starts there. And then even before that you have the father, Vasudeva, praying to Krishna as a supreme person. And then we turn around, we come to the 15th century, Krishna descends as Lord Chaitanya. And in this form, he is non-different from Krishna. But there is one difference. He carries prema. Krishna doesn't carry prema. Lord Chaitanya carries prema. So he distributes prema. And when he meets Lord Nityananda Ram in Jagannath Puri, he gives his entire kripa shakti to Lord Nityananda Ram to distribute. And Lord Nityananda Ram is distributing with no discrimination since then. But then are the recipients qualified? If Sri Uddhava was not qualified, if Devaki, Mother Devaki was not given this extraordinary intimate experience which Mother Yashoda had, and if others were not qualified in the other leelas, how could we qualify ourselves? Do we have anything which we could offer? Anything at all in return for what is to be given? We don't. So that's where the compensation comes in. The compensation part is being done by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Ram, through Srila Prabhupada and through the spiritual master. The compensation is being done if we keep our side of the contract. And our side of the contract is a very minimal, minuscule effort in relationship to the gifts that are being given. So that is the beauty of this movement. This movement is such that we have received something so special that we don't even know it. We don't know it. It is there in black and white, but we don't realize it. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is black and white all through. We don't realize it. Prema Bhakti is so rare that we don't realize it. The four sampradayas, the remaining four sampradayas, they don't know it. They don't. They stop at Mathura. So we do. And this is due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So what is it which we ought to do is simply stay the course. The inspiration to stay the course comes from Sri Ram Parivar. So whoever is resident here, you're indeed fortunate, because when you see the lotus face of Sri Sita Ram Lakshman, we would realize that this is how Dasya Bhakti is to be done. And by becoming Dasa Dasanu Das, we would automatically qualify for Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Lord Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And then that would allow us to chant. And everything else is dependent on that. So I will stop right here. And if there are any comments,